welcome everybody. Thank you very much for coming here to the Whitechapel in this mini UN conference in front of Gottfried and Kugan's fantastic installation with Guernica behind us. This is all being recorded for the Whitechapel archives, so hopefully in 10 years' time someone's going to look back and see and think about the state of Hereford and creativity as it was in 2009. My name's Jennifer Thatcher. I run talks at the ICA and I'm an art critic. I'm probably the only one here who isn't a parent, which is probably why Martina and Milani invited me to come, so that, in her words, we would try not to indulge ourselves too much in anecdotes, but we'll see how we go. So this is very much an open forum. There is no agenda as such, but I might just sketch out a few of the points that Martina wanted to raise just to get us going. So Martina came to me with this idea, having been, I think, frightened and kind of been made very conscious by a quote that someone told her while she was pregnant, which is a quote from a book by Cyril Connolly called Enemies of Promise, which many of you might have read. And in the advice to budding writers, he says, "There is no more sombre enemy of good art than the pram in the hall." This he wrote in 1938. So 71 years on, this quote and this idea that the pram in the hall stifles creativity still plagues us, which is probably why we're all here, and hopefully we're going to discuss it. There are some sort of general kind of statements I'm going to make, which we might kind of discuss later, to do with the state of the art world in this country and maybe the general world of work. And I think I'm not sure at this point whether you're all artists or you have sort of more regular 9-to-5 jobs, so it may be that we end up discussing more the idea of creativity in parenthood or the more pragmatic side of working and parenthood. So I'm leaving that open for the moment. But it's still true, I think, other than the Whitechapel, which seems to have, as Ruth pointed out, all female artists, it's still very rare for British institutions to have equal number of shows by female and male artists. I think we probably all agree. It's also true that while conditions for women are getting better in the workplace, there are more policies in place for women who are pregnant, women with small children. According to The Guardian this morning, an interview with Catherine Rake, head of the Fawcett Society, revealed that 30,000 women are being forced out of their jobs every year simply because they're pregnant, and maybe some of you have stories to tell of colleagues and friends who have had this happen. And worryingly, this number's rising, actually, in the recession, so that's another statement to bear in mind. The London art world is kind of notoriously bad at having any children, or often even partners, around in the openings, isn't it? I mean, if you ever, and actually I want to say there are people from other areas of Britain here, so maybe they can compare their situation with here. But it's pretty rare to be in a situation like this, isn't it, midweek with a lot of children around. You're likely, most likely to see children on a weekend, or perhaps with a sole parent and a child sometime in the middle of the day. So how can this change? I mean, in other countries, the art world is a bit more child-friendly. What is it? Is it specific to London art world, or is it a more societal problem with Britain and London in general that is just not friendly to children? But there are other circumstances which are changing, and I don't want this to end up just being perhaps about women, because increasingly men and women are sharing the burden of childcare and also work. Men and women are sharing the breadwinner duties as well. So it may be that we discuss as well, and there are some men in this room, what the challenges are for both partners today. So I'm going to pass on just very briefly to Martina Milani, a photographer who's invited you all to be here, just to talk a little bit about why she organised this conference, this open forum, and maybe also just to tell us about all the women who couldn't be here today but wanted to give a message of support. And then we'll come back and it'd be really useful if you could all introduce yourselves so we know who each other is, and also for the purposes of the recording. And just you'll just give your name and perhaps your profession, whether you're an artist or writer or whatever. So I'll just pass on to Martina briefly.
Well, thank you very much for coming. I think it's really wonderful to see such a good turnout, and the fact that, as Jen said, that this is somehow archived for the future, I think is quite exciting. Regardless of what we discuss or any outcomes that might happen because of it, but the fact that we're here, I think it's a really good indication that it's probably a very emotive subject that a lot of women feel the need to talk about. And a little bit of housekeeping to start off with. We're not allowed to eat in this space because of the nature of the show, and it's an artwork, so we must respect it. And no flash because of the tapestry behind us, but breastfeeding is fine. So for those of us lactating, that's a bonus. I really thought it was important that I made apologies for the women who sent wonderful emails, and so that I would mention their names by way of apology if we wanted to sort of like treat this as a meeting. So Camilla Brown, Trish Morrissey, Rachel Howfield-Massey, Helen Wilson, Karen Brett, Liv Pennington, Sarah Andrew, Claire Ray, Hilary Cook-Sasson, Ruth Blacksell, Lisa Edgar, Teresa Grill, Melissa Moore, Anushka Dalmaso, and Anthony Luvera have prior commitments, otherwise they would be here. And for the following women who couldn't be here because they had to pick their children up from school and wanted me to say so, Susie Gray, Victoria Kelly, Sophie Rickett, Benita Walia, and Nadia Berry. As Jen said, while I was pregnant, a friend of mine quoted this particular frightening quote to me. And at the time, I thought it was quite frightening to think that the pram and the hole could be the enemy of good art, and what that would mean for my own practice. So I thought the best thing to do would be to just forget about it until I'd given birth, and then perhaps think about it later. And I have been quite preoccupied by it. My little girl is 7 months, and while it is absolutely a wonderful experience, and we all know that it is quite frightening to think that somehow my ability to make art is now compromised in a way. I think it's a provocative idea, and I think it's provocative to say so, and it's a painful acknowledgement to make, but I'm concerned about how I manage to be the mother that I would like to be, and be the great artist that I aspire to be also. So this is difficult. She is young, and perhaps in 2 years' time I may feel very differently. I hope I will. But for now, I think it's a good reason to get together and have a discussion. I think for women in particular, it's a bit more tricky because of our biological attachment to our children, least of all. But I think somehow that very painful discussion about how we can indeed make great art, and indeed, you know, any distraction is a distraction, and having children for sure is a big one, but does it mean that we are not going to be the great artists that we would like to be because we decide to have children? And is this the reason why so many women of my generation are putting off having children until, in some cases, it's getting close to the end, and in some cases it's too late to have children? And there is a woman that I desperately tried to convince to come today, but she hasn't come, to be part of this discussion, because she felt that she left the decision to have babies until it was too late. She followed a career path, and as a result didn't have children, and didn't want to come today because somehow she felt intimidated, because we'd all be sitting here about talking about our experiences of having children, when indeed she decided, or through one way or another, that she wouldn't have them. Which, however it came about, whether it was a conscious or subconscious decision. And I thought it was important that she be here and she share that with us, because it could easily have been us, and how do we feel about our careers now? I'm repeating myself. Can I also say that for the purpose of the tape, because we're not taking minutes by hand, if you could speak up, so that we're sure that we've got everything recorded, so that I can then transcribe from it afterwards. Ideally, I'd like, if possible, to be able to disseminate at least an edited version, if this is too long, of this discussion to, well, all the women who replied to say that they would like some sort of feedback about the discussion, but also perhaps something may come of it in the future.
Okay, should we just go round and say who we are? Should we start? Is it easy to start that direction?
Yep. I can't really move round a bit.
So. Okay, all right.
Okay, I'm Sarah Featherstone. I'm an architect, but I do run my own business. And I have a little 7-year-old girl called Joseph. What should I say?
That's fine. Thank you.
I run my own communication design company, so I guess commercial art, if you like, graphic design.
I'm Anna Shorter. I'm a TV researcher and broadcast journalist. I've got a six-month-old son, and I work for myself.
Hi, I'm Jill Darman. I don't have children or even a boyfriend, but I'm working on a project and I'm interested in issues that affect women, particularly in the early months of parenthood.
Hi, I'm Nagpat Walker. I am an artist, although not practicing for the last 2 years, and I've got 4 small children under 2.
I'm Jane Watt. I'm an artist.
Children, so my career's kind of been on hold for a while, but yeah.
Hey, I'm Toru Brancher. I'm also a photographer artist, and my children are all in their 20s.
Hi, I'm Ruth Place Luxemburg. I'm a photographer artist and educator. My partner is also an artist, and we have a child together who is 3.5 years old.
Okay, so maybe we should go back to that initial quote just to get us going. There is no more somber envy of good art than the man in the hall. For 71 years later, women's predicament has changed only for the better, let's say. And so, in the absence of as many social and pragmatic reasons why there are so few women, prominent women artists and writers who are also mothers, can we suggest that maybe this is a psychological block? What are the challenges today? Are they the same as they were? And I'm sure all of you are going to have different responses to this. I feel like being a bit provocative and saying, why are we still interested in this myth? And is this myth still true, that it's that the pram in the hall is a block to creativity? Does anyone feel that they want to start off? This is very much an open forum. It's not, I'll play devil's advocate just to get things going, but maybe people can talk about their experiences just to get us going, and whether they felt that it was a block.
Actually, I would like to start off, because if I understand it correctly, it was directed at a male writer. Is that not so?
Yes.
So the whole issue of female creativity has changed so much in the 30s anyway, that this is slightly misleading. And unlike you, Jane, I think there's hardly any men here and there's hardly any fathers here. So it seems to be that this quote would now really do need to be directed towards women.
okay. Can you just say your names when you give a response, just so that we can, just for the tape? Okay. So this is true. So this quote was made mainly to male writers, to the budding male writer. So is there a difference between that advice to men and advice to women?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yes, sorry.
The question that Paul threw up for me more than any other was, what is good art? Whose definition of good art is this? And has it changed? And is the problem we have as women or as mothers living up to a particular definition of good art rather than being blocked creatively by the primary in the hall?
Okay, and what do you think? What is good art for you? What is the definition of good art?
Definitions of good art that prevail haven't changed terribly much since Cyril Connolly made that statement. I think that's one of the reasons why we don't do, we see a much smaller proportion of women in galleries than to men. And there's something about the definition of good art that has characteristics like, I'm trying to think of the words, rigour. There are a lot of very masculine words that are used to describe what we think of as good art. And that, for me, is linked with Cyril Connolly's idea that good art is about a kind of a focus that allows for no distraction whatsoever. And that's the kind of good art that's threatened by children, parenthood, having to attend to the needs of other people.
Okay. But do you think this is just a different form of distraction? There's always distractions, you know. I mean, I think this is obviously an ideal scenario that he was talking about for the budding writer, where you would have no distraction. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago where it was considered a distraction to have a partner. You know, if you were a genius, you shouldn't be in a happy relationship. You shouldn't be happy, full stop. I mean, that was considered bad for creativity.
Since my daughter was born, because I just feel like I wouldn't you, I wouldn't be able to give to everything around me equally, and therefore why do it? Just, you know, concentrate on one thing and do that really right. And I also find that even without any philosophical decision on it, my whole creativity is being taken up by being a mother. You know, I need to be creative in so many ways every day to have fun and to do it right. So I'm not even interested, I don't even miss my work that much.
Martina.
Which brings up a huge fear that I have, and I don't know how the mothers of older children might feel about this, but is there at some point then we begin to regret that we made that decision to have children? Is it possible to have regret? Considering the fact for some artists the need to make work is quite pertinent and important, and I would say almost like a lifeline. And we all know what it's like to be unhappy if we can't make work. Then at some point, and I don't believe for a minute there aren't women who regret or at some point are quite sad by the fact that they can't make work, and possibly that reflects back on having children, which is a very difficult place to be. But I think, you know, and it's a painful thing to talk about, but I think if we're going to have an open discussion, then this has to be acknowledged somehow. Is it possible that we regret having our children?
But it is possible to make art and have children.
Okay.
Noga has continued making work, and so have I. So it's not all as much as one. Everyone makes their own decision in that case.
Well, I'm Tori, and my children are all grown up, and I can only tell you that if you're going to wait until they give you a spare moment, you're going to have to wait a very long time, because you know, they've all left home, but they still call up and they still come home, and you know, and they take my emotional, you know, their problems. They talk about it and we discuss it and you know, I get completely, totally involved with their issues and their difficulties still, you know, on an emotional level, maybe not on a practical level, obviously, because they're grown-ups and they live their own lives, but, you know, there is that kind of involvement that just doesn't go away. It just carries on. So I think, for me, the very, very important thing is to grab hold of this as the positive experience, as you were saying, really, and feed it into your work and find a balance where, you know, it's okay that one thing takes priority for a while and then maybe switch over or, you know, but life just is a juggling act, and that's just, you know, the minute you have a child, that's what it is for me.
I'm Amelie here. One of the things that I feel, I mean, I'm not an artist, but I run a creative practice, and I'm back at work part-time. That's maybe not so possible with certain types of art, whatever. But I do also feel that somehow there is more hours in the day now than there used to be. In a kind of bizarre way, you find other things have gone, you know, not gone, but like suddenly you don't doss around, you don't do certain things. So somehow you kind of create more hours in an odd way. I mean, now I've got two children and I've almost got more time than when I mean, that's obviously got to do with them growing older and you getting more used to being a mother, but it's, I don't know, I just think there is a sort of shift of energies and time, and you get more efficient, or, I don't know.
Should we get to someone else? Not artists, maybe if there's a different experience. For example, I think Sarah's an architect, maybe there's a different experience there. Because do you think there's a difference between the way in which artists work and the way in which other creative people work? I mean, I know that in terms of writing, that's very different from being an artist, and actually writing benefits from discipline and being given short amounts in short bursts of time works actually a lot better than sitting in a room and sort of waiting for inspiration. And in fact, you know, when you even read biographies of male writers, they often only write for 2 or 3 hours a day maximum anyway, and usually at very sort of unsociable hours, like sort of at 5 in the morning or something, and they kind of do other things in the day because it's simply not possible to write for that amount of time. So maybe, is it Sarah? What's the experience of being an architect and a mother? Is it different from what we've been hearing about creativity and
Well, I suppose being an architect, there's a whole side of what you do which is about being organised and you're having to think about an awful lot of things. And before I even had a baby, just trying to find time when you're running your own business to be creative or to have space to think is quite challenging. Since we've had Joseph, it's even time-wise is even more challenging. But I think it doesn't. I think you still find, I mean, I still find, because I've got this kind of whole way of having to organise myself, that I kind of do still find that space somehow. I mean, I think you just have to think, I just find myself thinking, having to work much more on my intuition, which I quite like, because I think, again, with architecture, it's a balance of sort of working intuitively, but also being quite pragmatic about thinking about all the constraints you've got to consider and that have been presented to you about you. The client and the site and everything, and rather than spend as much time as I might normally on research and things like that and all that background stuff, I just have to go much more intuitively, and I quite like that. And I don't work on my own; I work with a team. So, in some ways, it's good that someone can sort of almost dip. I mean, I'm having to dip, stand away from it more, but I can kind of bring something else to the team, I think. So, in some ways, it's very positive.
Do your team have children? Do you find it's a profession in which there are many parents?
It's a difficult profession. I think it's always a difficult profession to be in and have children, unless you run your own business, I think. I mean, I think most people I know who train as architects and now have kids, women-wise, are probably working on the periphery of architecture. Maybe they're writing about it, or maybe they're... Because it's, I think, very difficult to... It's such long hours being an architect, and whether you're working for yourself or in a larger practice, and it's very competitive, so it's very hard, I think, to keep up if you are the carer that's taking time out and not able to be, you know, working all hours of the day.
Is that changing at all?
Just out of interest, do they then return to having a longer period or stronger time base? Involvement in their careers later, or do they tend to just stay out of it?
I don't know. My experience of friends my age who don't have their own business but work in larger practices, they do get marginalised and they take time out of it, but their practices are very good, they support them, they have their maternity leave, but they won't get as far, they won't work their way up the ladder within that company, they don't get as far. Probably not true throughout, but that's, I can see it in some of my friends, and that's what obviously you would read about. Predominantly, that's what will happen, I think. I have a much smaller practice, there's only about 7-8 of us. I'm the eldest, no one else has got any kids yet, so I don't have the experience of how it works in our own. I'd like to think
we'd
be able to support that person and
wouldn't
compromise.
Has anyone else got an experience of working in a company?
Sometimes for very, very small companies. And there are some roles within, say, for instance, the TV industry where you don't get marginalised if you've got kids, maybe. There's some sort of 9-to-5 jobs that are still sort of in front of the camera and sort of important jobs. But because of the way it works for shift work and working certain days of the week, sometimes it is easier to be part-time. But for people like me, who's behind the camera, working on sort of short projects. For me, a big question is how I'll be able to, say, give the commitment of time that's expected by, say, for instance, someone who employs me to research on their TV programme, to actually be able to, say, pick up my child from school and things like that, and actually have the sort of downtime when I'm at home to sort of think about a project, which is sometimes where you get a breakthrough and when you're trying to piece a story together. And I'm wondering, how will I get that when I'm either at work doing it or at home focused on my baby? So that's always a big question for me. But I think one aspect of that work is that when you work, you're away from your child, and I think that might give you space to concentrate on that particular job, task, thing that you have to think about. And I don't know how it works for artists, whether you're in an area where your space where you actually create your work is actually where you'll find your children to provide distractions.
Okay, has anyone not spoken yet who wants to talk about their experience? Maybe I've forgotten your neighbour who's researching for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering, you obviously have children of different ages, but I was actually having a discussion with my friend yesterday, and how much hormones come into not being able to create. I mean, I know particularly during pregnancy, and maybe breastfeeding, people change their way of sleeping or eating or what. I'm just wondering how it affects your artistic output. Anyone?
Well,
hormones,
so that's
sorry?
Hormones.
Yeah.
It's actually quite an interesting question, how biology would affect creativity, and I don't know what the answer to it is.
Oh, I think I have an answer at the moment. The lack of sleep is severely affecting my ability to think creatively, and during the pregnancy, the lack of, I think I was talking to a friend the other day, and it's a year since I've had a full night's sleep, and I know I've aged, but I certainly, I mean, creatively, my output is zero, but...
Sleep deprivation is a form of torture, so it's not to be underestimated. If you're not sleeping properly, a lot of other things go.
But, Martina, if you were given a commission tomorrow, you would do it.
I would
Isn't it also a lack of a creative...
opportunity?
Opportunity, yes.
It's a bit of a vicious cycle then, isn't it?
If someone was saying to you, okay, you have this exhibition in a month's time, make new work, I'm sure you would put...
Well, you put this together, Martina, you're excited about this. So,
that's
and
true.
That took quite a few hours to put together and to think about.
I don't know if that's true. In my experience, I was just about to arrange a show. Just about talking to a gallery about putting a show together. And I found I was pregnant. I had the next meeting a couple of months down the line. And I found out I was pregnant with twins, and I didn't think I could effectively manage it just after I gave birth. So I pulled out of that and haven't done anything since, even though I'd made a whole body of work that needs to be sort of disseminated and edited. But I just didn't feel like I could do it at the same time.
Because you felt you didn't have enough time or economic support?
Yeah, I was quite well, but it was kind of, I felt like the birth would be the most...
What do you? Yeah.
Because because we make those choices, and because and relating it to the issue of biology as well, we are somehow more attached to those lovely little creatures that we decide to have. And don't get me wrong, I'm absolutely in love with motherhood. But is it the reason why, or is it one of the reasons why, more men are collected, more men have the big shows, more women go into administrative jobs where they know they're going to be coming home at a certain time of the day, or they teach? Why is it that we still have a situation in the art world where we're still behind men in many respects? And does, you know, the whole process of having children somehow interrupt us or interfere with our ability to be as cutthroat as we need to be able to get the opportunities that our male counterparts readily enjoy?
That's what I find really interesting. Sorry. I think we've talked about the fact that we do different things. We tend to, you know, if we decide not to focus entirely on our children, we focus partly on our children and partly on our work and partly on other things that we do. And then we lay ourselves open to accusations of dilettantism. And the reason for that is because the values of the art world are patriarchal values. You know, the work that's valued is the work that comes out of a kind of, and again, biology might have something to do with this, you know, a kind of focus that is at the expense of all else. It's the focus of the, you know, the classic male artist in the garret who, you know, whose wife is there to make sure he doesn't get distracted from what he's doing.
And I think that that's a really answer. The question of biology is really, really important because, it, you know, if you look at sort of feminist discourse, it's always been used by, you know, men. Even you just clap on the head and just say, well, you know, obviously women, once they have children, this and that and the other happens while, you know, speaking biologically. And therefore, of course, they can't do this as well or they can't do that as well. And so I think, you know, to me, I was also determined that biology wasn't going to get in the way, and I had planned to go back to work 3 months after I had my book, and everything completely changed. What has been disturbing to me was that even though I wasn't affected by hormones particularly during the pregnancy or even afterwards, what did make a huge difference was the way I started to be affected by suffering of other people. And that was really, it is something that disturbs me to this day. And I've talked to all the women and they said one day it will stop. But, you know, I found it hard to read newspaper articles about abuse of children or anyone else, or, you know, watch TV programs or read books. You know, to the point I stop people in conversations when they say, oh, have you heard of this terrible thing that happened? I just said, I don't want to hear about it. And it's almost like this protective membrane that was between me and the rest of humanity has sort of been torn down, and I feel very, you know, I feel empathy for a lot of people. And because my documentaries I used to make were about human rights abuses, it's been almost one of these things where I projected going there because of the issues that I was looking at. They were very, very harsh, and at the moment I just don't feel like I want to go there at all. And that has something to do with biology, I'm pretty sure.
Could I also say that I'm sorry, yes, Antoro, that I think it's a bit of an illusion that we have so very many choices, because the reality for most women with young children is that there is very little support to have, you know, for somebody else to take care of that child. You know, it is rare, I think, that one partner can, it is rare that women can choose exactly how they want to live their lives with young children in the country.
Are there any people here who feel that they share their childcare equally with their partner? So that's a no.
Yeah, there was a lack of response there.
Yes, I probably do, because I've pretty much been back working ever since I had my baby, had Joseph, one way or another. And one of the things we did, I mean, we're very fortunate, is we're both architects. He left the large company he was working for and joined up and became director of my company, so that we could both have the flexibility of both looking after our baby. And so I think it's me that's sometimes a bit selfish and wants to spend a bit more time with him because I'm breastfeeding and things like that. And but it's quite equal, and we've got a lot of family that look after him as well. So I'd say it's been quite equal.
Did anyone start off thinking it would be equal and then it changed? No.
If I think about it, in terms of hours, it is pretty equal. But this takes into account the whole, my name's Emily, the whole day, as in, like, you know, I have been getting a lot of lines, certainly in my second pregnancy, but also since this one's been, you know, like, the whole, you know, my husband does loads, but he doesn't really, he has at times only worked part-time, but it's quite understood that if he needs to, he works full-time, and so in a sort of work way, it's not equal, but in terms of generally chipping in and using hours in the day or at night to work, which, you know, if you are self-employed, that's obviously always an option. We are pretty much 50-50, I would say. But it's just, yeah, it's kind of slightly not really, yeah.
Well, and my partner is sitting opposite me holding another baby, but I thought it would be more in terms of the share of childcare, but it didn't quite, because we had different plans, it didn't quite work out for us that way. And then our baby just decided she wasn't going to have a bottle, so, and she's fully breastfed, and it's another question of you know, the mechanics of keeping them alive. But, and as a result, it's been pretty difficult to leave her with anyone, so no, I don't have as much time as I thought I would.
Okay, and in terms of the way, I mean, obviously people have children of different ages, but in terms of childcare, how is that working for people? What are the options available now in 2009? What is free, and what age can you have free state childcare? And how is it possible to have paid for childcare with the kind of salary that artists tend to earn?
No.
Right, okay, our team says no.
Especially when you have more than one child. My name's Miranda Hodgson. My husband works full time, and you know, and I stay at home doing all the things because financially it's too tricky to get everyone collected from school and picked up. And that's another point to the sort of stifling of creativity. I sort of start my day thinking, right, I've got to make breakfast, I've got to get out of the house by a certain time, I've got to collect by a certain time, I've got to prepare lunch, I've got to prepare dinner. And sometimes I reflect that thinking, this is so boring. You know, my next hour is maybe I'm now going to be preparing food with three screaming children at that awful hour sort of between 5 and 6. And I love it. There's part, well, I do love it, but there are certain points of the day where I just think, this is incredibly dull. And I'd rather be upstairs on my computer playing around with some of the images that I've just made. So that, to me, and the sort of tiredness and the sort of dull routine, and I don't sort of thrive on routines particularly. And so that's another point to the whole thing not being creative for me, I think.
Okay, what about any other stories about childcare? Because I don't have a child, I don't know what the state system is. At what age can you... do you have access to free state childcare nursery?
Three.
Which is later, isn't it, than in, for example, other European countries?
No, it's the earliest country in all of Europe.
This is the earliest.
Yeah, this, England's the earliest where you get sent to a, you know, a sort of institution that isn't the private. I mean, that doesn't mean that before that other countries aren't cheaper to put your children into a nursery, but the state school system starts here at 3, and in all the other countries it's much later.
And
then
everyone's guaranteed a place.
Yeah. Sorry. It is very common.
The option, it's all super confusing.
What's confusing about it?
What places are available, and also when then the school starts, when you have to apply for that, what schools you should apply for, it's incredibly difficult. But the other good thing that happens in this country is that the government is actually quite financially supportive to parents their child tax credits, and it's very useful, it's very helpful. And in Germany, for example, it doesn't exist. So it's not also bad in Britain.
Child tax
credits. Yes.
Okay.
Based on how many children you have and what your income is,
mm-hmm.
and what your child cost care are. So my son, who goes to nursery, gets support from the government. I get the support for paying his nursery, and he started at 2.
And does that pay for all of it?
Not quite, but it's a significant chunk which really
helps. Right. Is that other people's experiences?
But I'm sure most mothers are passionately aware of it because it's so complex, isn't it?
I mean, I totally agree with that. I think actually it's really, I mean, I'm from Switzerland. Things are, you know, people earn more money. It's a totally different story. But I also know from German friends and everything that it's actually not that bad here. And the tax credit, particularly if you're on a low, if you're on a nice, comfortable salary, you get virtually nothing. It's debatable whether that's okay or not, and childcare is very expensive. But if you're on a low earning, which I think some people obviously, if you're doing art and it, then you do actually get quite a lot of support because the tax credit system is complicated, but it's pretty good, I think. In terms of childcare.
And what about before that? Does anyone here rely on private paying someone to look after their child? And is that doable on?
No, not at all. But I'm not working anyway as an artist, so even what I was earning before, I wouldn't be able to hire somebody else.
What about does anyone belong to any organisation or group where perhaps childcare is shared between people? I know, Martina, you've been talking to various people about perhaps organising some kind of support group.
In terms of childcare?
Yeah.
Well, a group of mothers who've all had babies around the same time, we've been meeting on a regular basis, and perhaps quite naively at the moment, because you know our baby's around 6 or 7 months old. We're thinking that perhaps we could take our children for a day a week, so to free us up financially and also time-wise. And to see if somehow that might ease us back. There's three of us who are self-employed. So we're wondering if perhaps that might be a way to ease us back into work again gradually until we can afford childcare. Or indeed until we get the work coming in. I'm not sure which. But
does anyone else have any belong to any such groups or know of any groups? Does anyone belong to any kind of group at all?
I know some groups, but I just can never think of when I'm going to be able to replay their favourites. How I can never fit it in, so I sort of tend to avoid the groups because it's just, life's too busy to go to them, go and have an evening and go sit in their children.
I think it very much depends on the age of the child. This, it's sort of a little bit too early, I would think 6 or 7 months. I've been there and part of an institute with 8 women, been meeting ever since the children were born, like 1 week afterwards, and meeting for almost 2.5 years now. And we had the same thing in mind, but then the reality was that the children, you just couldn't do that to everyone, to have 2 or 3 at the same time. So only now that they're starting to be like walking and talking, and you can entertain them, now you can start. So it's
really wrong with policy, for example. If I was a minister
and you were here, what would you want to ask me? What would you want to change? And what would you want to change in the art world?
Maybe a couple of things would be, for example, for a commission, maybe they could be allowed some childcare. Because actually, you're not going to be able to make work unless you have some help with your children. Or you're not going to be able to make work if that's the way you work. If you need time on your own, if you can't afford that time, and perhaps it doesn't fit your budget, where is that slot for I need childcare? And the other thing is, maybe near, you know, complexes of studios, like perhaps like the Aquila type, I gave up my studio, but perhaps they could have pressures that, you know, 3 or 4 months would take turns in running, so not paying people, they get trained up. You know, all you have to do is a first aid course, which doesn't take long, and a couple of other bits and pieces. So, you know, they could sponsor 10 women from the studios, let's say, to do that and run a crash. That would be helpful.
And is there, why don't we do this anyway? Is there, you know, we're just talking about groups. What's stopping people from getting together and setting up some kind of communal crash so that this can happen?
Space.
Distance.
London's really big. I mean, not everybody is even from London, so practically, you want to be practical when you have children. You want things to be close by.
You almost have to have people living in the same street to be having real
What about any studio spaces? Does anyone belong and have a studio in a large complex where this might happen? No one. I mean, a lot of your photographers say it's probably not the same kind of studio complexes. And what? Yes. Hello. Someone in the
Annabelle.
That the Pompidou would have an exhibition only of women artists, and I think it's 800 works by 200 female artists of their own collection. So to be on the positive side, they have been collecting, increasing their collection of female artists way beyond most big institutions. But on the other hand, they felt it necessary to have an exhibition only of women artists, which, you know, is something that, you know, is deeply problematic, isn't it?
Why?
Well, it depends whether you want to be seen as separate, you know, or whether you want to have as a policy instead that you show
that
half and half.
Discourses which can be brought out in a show like that? Maybe the feminist discourse, the pioneers?
I think that exhibition is incredibly important.
What's the policy in galleries and curating? There is something important to it doesn't mean that we're saying this is women's work, but we're saying here's work that's been done by a range of women. What can we identify here that might be different?
I worry because the same thing is happening with certain geographical areas at the moment, so that there'll be, you know, a big exhibition of Indian artists, or, you know, Sacha would do a big exhibition of Iranian art, Middle East.
Just so that's a YBA phenomenon, it was nationality which was the issue. Britishness. So there's always this going towards categories, and of course we don't want to be defined by biology. That's absolutely scary and something. But
don't you think a better approach is perhaps one that's been taken here at the Whitechapel, where you just put on work by women artists and you just do it, and that is your policy. And as I remember, he was saying, you know, you just make that decision and you stick to it. That seems to be a much healthier environment for men and women to operate in. I mean, I think it's so dangerous for, I just think it's so dangerous if the Whitechapel announced a big sign saying, we are only doing women artists now. I mean, you know, are these women not good enough to be shown because at the Whitechapel, because their work is fantastic? Because it deserves to be here.
It was my suggestion that we should have women.
No, I said 50, that, yeah. You, that we would implement a 50-50 policy, which I absolutely agree with. But then obviously it has its own problems because then you have to look at all the other groups that you're perhaps neglecting. And it's, it, you know, it's incredibly difficult as an institution to avoid at some points being discriminatory because you just happen to really like an artist's work and you want to put that on, that's fine. But to have to be constantly asking questions of yourself as an institution is a very important thing. And I don't know if that many institutions are really doing it. And I don't really see that in the workplace things are becoming easier for women, taking time off. I think there's people are terrified, nervous of telling their employer that they're pregnant now. I certainly would be. I don't think at this sort of time, particularly in the recession, that there's anyone has job security, but let alone women. And I think, you know, I don't know what can be done about it other than, and you can have as many policies as you like, but employers may decide to just accept that they'll have to pay you off because it'll be easier, they prefer to in the long run.
Well, maybe it's also about solidarity among women and female employers and female professors supporting other females. So it's sort of an informal network and solidarity, basically.
Well, I think that's it. That's crucial. I think, but because everyone's frightened, sometimes that kind of level of solidarity can disappear as people are just desperately.
I want to know the effect. Sorry, it's Anna. I want to know the effect of having, say, for instance, that break, that year break or so that you might take to look after your child. What effect does it have on your career and how easy on your work as an artist? And how easy is it to go back to it for the artists who've had children and return to making art?
I'm not an ex-student of mine
at the Royal College, a female, was under a lot of pressure after her first baby. You know, a lot of people were wondering, and she was beginning to, because she's not here, I prefer not to say who it is, but she was, you know, being questioned in terms of, you know, when she might continue to make work or when she might make new work again. And somehow it became a question in terms of why isn't she producing work, which at the time I thought was quite horrific considering the fact that she just had a baby. And I think once you drop off the radar as an artist, it can potentially be a little bit more difficult to get back on the spotlight. And I think there's also a danger that if you don't make work for a while, people want to know why. And I'm not sure that the art world is that forgiving that they accept that you've had a baby or four in the meantime as a good enough reason for not making art.
And Martina, you were talking about yesterday, we were chatting about the, you know, now that the art world is so competitive, you know, a lot of, and that being an artist is a career, you have to schmooze, you have to do all those things, go to openings, do all the networking that you're meant to do just to keep visible in this world. And how is that possible if you're juggling and you're having to, you know, manage your time so efficiently? Who's got time to go out having dinner with people or just being present at openings all the time?
I just think, I mean, this is all very real, but also at the same time quite depressing. And I think what is depressing about it is that this whole conversation for the sort of last 20 minutes is based on being reactive. It's based on reacting to whatever set of rules are already out there, whatever attitudes men have taken on and are perpetuating. And I find that... you know, it's very sad because it means that there's no, or
my experience, and it is here to stay, whether you like it or not. I'm not going to press myself into or submit to all these, you know, rules and challenges that have been put up. But people don't quite understand, what it's like.
So yes, but if you're an artist, you're a public person, and you participate in public life, and there are already conditions which are existing, so you have to react.
How much do you have to know about those, and how much do you have to...
Well, that's however you want to negotiate with that as an artist and a public person.
I think that's probably, yeah, you're right. That's
and if you want to continue
to decide
on
you know, how much of their life do they want to sacrifice to
But
to
it
do
doesn't
this.
Need to be always a sacrifice.
But to submit to someone else's rules, as you just said, to go to all these networking events, to all these, to sacrifice your time to that in order to have a success.
But maybe someone enjoys it. Maybe you enjoy going to these parties. Maybe, I mean, you're taking a baby with you. It's very, I mean, I've done it. It's terrible. The baby certainly didn't enjoy it, but I enjoy. I enjoy those events, and I want to be part of that public
that's
life.
That's what I'm talking about. You're confident enough to say, you know, I'm a mother, I'm with my baby, and I'm here.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I'm Toral, and my youngest has been with me at openings all her life, you know, since she was 4 years old. The only way I could do it was to take her with me. The other two are slightly older, so they missed out on that. The youngest is now 21, and she's studying art here in London. And she keeps coming across work and she's like, I'm sure I've seen this before. And I say, oh yes, you know, so it's not all bad. And I, on that note, I also want to say that I think there's a lot of positive about having children. I used to, for years, think, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to just work on one thing, to just think about one thing and nothing else. And then every now and then I do have that. Now, you know, the opportunity comes up, but I find I can't work like that. If there's not 10 things on the go, I'm not really putting it all in there. You know, everything else, well, everything I do feeds everything else. And I think this is the wonderful thing about having children. I think what you've been saying is particularly interesting, you know, about how it changes your feelings and about what you were doing, about work, you know, the work you were making before. But you know, don't underestimate the good things that come out of this having your child, and maybe it will take your skills and your artistic endeavours into a different direction, which will be equally great for everyone. Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's an important thing to remember.
I think there was pressure in the last few years, not only to be going out and doing lots of networking, but also to be young, and I think that might be changing as well. And I think maybe that pressure to be a young artist to do a lot before you got to a certain age meant that people felt they should wait to have children, or when they did, they panicked that they needed to carry on working. And I do think there is a change, probably because of the credit crunch and the fact that people, there's not this sort of massive kind of hysteria over buying young artists and showing just very, very young artists straight from college. That there's more of a focus now on, instead of emerging artists, emerging ideas, emerging practices, which means that hopefully artists can be seen as interesting for a much longer time and not pressured to sort of make all their best work before the age of whatever it is that, you know, all these prizes go up to. Maybe that can be useful for all of us. Do people get the same impression?
No, because I mean, I think what Martina said is quite important, because if you do take time off, people just assumed you stopped making work. Lots of men stop making work and do something different, but they've assumed you stopped doing it forever. I mean, in my case, I don't know if I have or not, but if I ever wanted to go back to it, it would almost be like starting again, almost.
No, I can speak from my experience in having one child, having a little break, and then coming back to certain scene, if I can say. I think you always have this
working and need it will come back, and if it's good work, it will be there somehow. So it's always think, you know, you're going for a long run, not for a short run. So hopefully life is long enough to make more if you're lucky.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for a note of positivity. Going to wrap up fairly soon, so maybe if anyone wants to perhaps throw in any kind of parting comments for the next 5 minutes or so. Is there anything that people came here for that they wanted to talk about, or anything that they felt hasn't been addressed, or perhaps has been addressed in a way that they're not happy with? Obviously, everyone's going to come out of here then very positive, very happy with their life and what they've chosen to do with it.
I think one of the positive things that's come out is this sort of idea of confidence,
yeah.
Working on confidence, and you know, not being too critical of yourself as being a mother and having the status of a mother, and you know, trying to embrace that positively, because you do get silenced, and I do feel sort of when I'm working, I try not to mention my children just because I don't want to be seen as this gushing mother. And that's, you know, how I define it, you know. So, but having confidence in being a gushing mother.
Yeah. Actually,
if I can. One artist responded to me. She told me that after she'd had her first child, quite a big collector in America told her not to mention the fact that she had children because she wouldn't be taken seriously. And I met another artist who knew that artist and knew that collector, and he told the other artist separately that he had mentioned this to the first one, quite proudly. This is disgusting. So I'm sorry if we think we've, you know, reached some sort of level playing field, but when men can say that, or anyone can say that, then surely we're not as far along as we'd like to hope we are.
That's why policy changes are important but not good enough, because what we actually need is a complete change of culture.
Yes.
And that's why I think what you were saying is important. It's something we can only do for ourselves.
And also our men, obviously. We have to involve our men.
Yes.
If they, you know, obviously want to say and help that, then they're the first front runners, actually.
Been really useful to have it, but I think we could really do with doing it again. And I think somehow we've all been just a little bit timid. I mean, I feel that there are, perhaps because it's such a public setting, perhaps because the fear that, you know, somehow this is going to exist as an archive somewhere.
I think that's all very good. I have to say, I really enjoyed this formal setting. I think that gives it a weight and a seriousness which it deserves. So I think if you had done this in your front room, it would have been the same. So I'm all in favour of this formality.
Good. But do people feel that they can be as open as they would like to be?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does anyone who hasn't spoken from the sidelines want to add anything? Well, perhaps...
I mean, what's happened today is that we had a starting point, and then there were lots of starting points, and so much got put in the middle. And you've covered a lot of ground, actually. But it's kind of like an introduction, and like you say, maybe another follow-up.
How do people feel about? Do we feel that we should do this again? That there's a need to do it again? I know there's an awful lot of women. I think it was about 19 women that I made apologies for that would like some sort of form to have a discussion again. And one woman, actually, a well-established artist, contacted me to say that she was sorry she couldn't be here because it's the last day of school, but also that she really would like the opportunity to discuss these issues with women who have children, because sometimes she feels quite isolated. So do we think we should do it again? Is there a need to? Have we said all we wanted to say?
I agree that we could go much deeper into some of the issues, definitely. But it's such a wide field that we had to cover. I think just
I haven't been in a form setting like this for a long time, and I just love it. So I think a lot of other women would feel the same. If, you know, if you're stuck in a role with a small child, as I say, that's quite boring.
And you said it's about isolation. Maybe this is one of the key problems, that you feel so isolated within your home and your child, and you need to do it.
Initial meeting, and thank you for all your contributions.